Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the first Press Gazette Journalism Matters podcast. For edition one, we were recording live at City University in London at a special debate held to discuss the implications of the government's decision to back down on plans to drastically curb the Freedom of Information Act.
All right, good evening, everyone. Welcome. So the sharp-eyed among you will know we've hastily changed the title of this event because the government, in a dastardly plan to undermine the campaign against in favour of free information, have actually backed down on their threats to change the law. Instead we're sort of taking stock now, finding out, talking about what all this means, and also talking about what the future is for the Freedom of Information Act. Now, our panel are... So Jonathan Isaby from the Taxpayers Alliance, Heather Brooke, who's a professor here, is that right? Expert user of FOI, is a journalist. Obviously the journalist who made one of the most high-profile FOI requests, which was for MPs' expenses, which indirectly prompted that great disclosure and sort of one of the greatest scoops ever, the scandal of MPs' expenses in the Telegraph. And on the end there, we have Rob Evans, who's... It's your fault, isn't it, that the that the government reviewed the Act, sort of, because Rob fought a long campaign for the government to disclose the letters which Prince Charles sent to government ministers, which was successful at the Supreme Court, which basically meant that the government thought it could veto FOI disclosures. The Guardian's campaign showed that actually the veto wasn't really worth anything. Because maybe just to start with Heather, what do you think? Do you think we're out of the woods as regards the Freedom of Information Act being kind of scuppered by the government, or do you think we should perhaps still be quite cautious about it?
A little bit cautious, I think, because. It's really a relief that they didn't do some of the changes that they had threatened to do. So one of the things they were thinking about was introducing fees so that every time you made a request, you'd have to pay to have the privilege to ask for official information, and that's off the table. There was also some thoughts about basically kind of, I would say, furring up the process for the requester. It would become a bit harder in different ways to make requests. And so all that's off the table now. But I am sceptical because, for example, when I won the MP's expenses case, it was a high court case. We had three of the court's highest judges gave their ruling on that case, and it was very definitive. There was no wiggle room in it. And even so, twice and once successfully, the MP's changed the FOI Act through a statutory instrument. The one that was successful is that in the High Court case, we argued and won on the point that MPs' addresses had to be made public. And we made the point that they had to be made public because that was the only way you could see whether they were switching houses from their second home to their main home, because that was thought to be where the main scam and fraud was. And so in order to check that the payments were legitimate, you had to know both addresses. And Parliament made a lot of argument about how this was an invasion of privacy and it would be dangerous. And we won on all those points. However, a few months later, an MP called Julian Lewis made this, he was very aggravated about this idea that MPs' home addresses were going to be in the public domain, which actually they had already been before, they were in the electoral register. And he introduced, he did this early day motion, and it became became an amendment to a totally unrelated bill. And what the end result of it was that it totally exempted all MPs' home addresses from the FOI law. A few months later again, they tried to introduce another statutory instrument, which was even broader, and that was going to exempt Parliament in totality from the FOI law. And the only reason that didn't go through was because some journalists heard about it and it was in the mail and it became this huge sort of cause célèbre and all the press got behind it, exposed it, and all the political will fell away. So that's why I'm a bit skeptical, because even when it looks like they're really not going to make any changes to it, they have this habit, evidenced by past behaviour, of actually doing some sneaky stuff through these statutory instruments.
Yeah, so they were quite clear, weren't they? They said, we will not change the law.
Yeah.
But, you know, you wonder what else they could do. What do you think? Well, do you think we're out of the woods, or do you think they could sneak something through?
I don't know. I mean, the main thing I always think about freedom of information is that, you know, it's the public's right, and you've got to continually fight for it. And it's sort of interesting, when the Act came into force in 2005, it seemed quite obvious that if you looked at how freedom of information had come in other democracies, that the government will always come back and try to undermine it. And sure enough, in 2007, they had a go at it and were repelled. And they've had another go now and they've been repelled. And I think that the thing that saves the Act is essentially, it's got a broad base of use. You know, a lot of people are using it, and therefore they value it. And so when the government comes and tries to attack it, people rally around and defend it. And I think that's the process, you know, that will continue for quite a long time.
And why do you think the government have backed down on this occasion?
officially, I think the reason is that there's been a lot of popular, you know, criticism. I think unofficially, I think the big reason is probably the Daily Mail started attacking the government about it. Once the government's been under attack by the Daily Mail, that's quite a difficult position to be in.
What do you think, Jonathan? You're a very big user of FOI.
And in the mail as well.
And in the mail. Yeah. Are you pleased with the result? And do you think? Looked at the detail, all of it, do you think we're reasonably safe now?
Oh, we're certainly pleased that the government are not going to change the primary legislation. Clearly there were fears that it could do. It's not going to do that. And as Heather said, they're not going to introduce charges, which is jolly decent of them, given that, you know, everything that we generally request information about is to ask what they've done with our money in the first place. So the idea of, you know, charging you twice over to discover what's happened with our money would have been particularly egregious. And, you know, the Taxpayers Alliance takes the view that basically anything being done by, you know, politicians, bureaucrats, any wing of the public sector with taxpayers' money ought to be subject to the highest levels of scrutiny by those of us pushing the bills, which is why we were delighted to be part of the very broad coalition, you know, of journalists, campaigners and pressure groups from, you know, across the spectrum. I mean, it was an incredible... There was a letter signed kind of last autumn by 140 of us from every different, you know, perspective, certainly across the political spectrum, and journalists, campaigners, you name it. We all got together to fight, and I think that's the point. I mean, it was a bit like Ronald Reagan said, freedom is only ever one generation away from extinction. You've got to fight for it anew with each generation. And in our own way, the same thing goes for freedom of information. You know, there are no permanent victories in a lot of these battles. You have to keep making the argument, because unless you do, you can get complacent and think that, you know, you've got something that's immovable. I mean, to be fair, a lot of us thought FOI was one of those landmark pieces of legislation that would be completely irreversible. But no, it came up for review. The review itself has basically taken our position that we were on the right side, and that they to give them due respect. And I gave evidence to the commission. I don't know if you guys did as well, but you know, they listened to the arguments we made and pretty much came down on our side. You know, but as Heather says, that's not to say that there are ways in which the government could use secondary legislation to change some of the detail of the processes in due course. So we have to be ever vigilant.
So now we've got the Act, and it's 10 years old, and hopefully it's safe for a few years at least. Starting with Heather, do you think journalists make enough use of it? And bearing in mind we've got quite a few journalists, student journalists in the room this evening, what would be your tips for how journalists can make better use of FOI?
Yes, some of my students are here. It's very good. It definitely is.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's imperative on people to use it or lose it. I feel like, as you know, there is part of the reason the government's attempt to stifle the law fail because there is such a broad community of people who are using it now. I mean, there's people on the right, people on the left, there's people of all different sort of interest groups, NGOs, all kinds of things, all kinds of organizations, and all sorts of people who have come to understand why it's so useful. But the delay, the obstructions, the kind of, I would say, the needless obstruction really puts people. I know, I really feel kind of sad for my students. I sort of relive the destruction of my own idealism, I guess, about government when I see like how they are when they get their first responses back. Because I think like you have this assumption that like government works well and efficiently, but at least you assume that it's going to be helpful. You know, it's gonna actively try and help you. But what I think the depressing thing that a lot of people find is that you find the opposite. You find an attitude in a lot of these public bodies of a kind of gleeful malevolence of how to obstruct you for no real apparent purpose. I find this really weird. I think it's a cultural thing, I have to say. I didn't experience it so much in America, but I did in certain bureaucracies. There is a kind of culture when a bureaucracy becomes quite insular, I would say, and it starts to forget who it's working for. So it's like where you say, you know, it's not so much the public's interest, it becomes the king's interest. And what I mean by the king's interest, not so much Prince Charles, but that's a good example, but it becomes the interest of the bureaucracy itself. And so they start to serve themselves. And so they just want to, you know, they close ranks, they don't want anybody asking too many questions. They see any questions as being destabilizing and threatening. And so they have this just big shield up, like, just go away. And if you're just attempting to use the law, it's not just that you're attempting to use the law, you're basically attempting to engage in civic society. You're trying to engage in politics, actually. And this is your first encounter. You know, and I also get really peed off with press offices at government departments who, as soon as you say, you know, you want a comment for something, as soon as somebody says, oh, I'm a student journalist, they're like, oh, sorry, we can't give you a comment. And you think, well, why not? Like, these are people who, this is their first encounter, like, with civic society, and this is the experience you're giving them. So I would love to see some kind of enlightenment shine on, on like, government bodies, where they sort of realize that there's such prime position with younger people, like first-time users, that I always kind of think you can really use FOI as almost like a canary in a coal mine in terms of the democratic quality and the efficiency of any organization. How well they answer FOI tells you a lot about the internal culture of an organization. It tells you if they're efficient or inefficient. It tells you if they're democratic or very dictatorial and hierarchical. And you can really make quite a lot of judgments about the quality of an organization based on FOI.
So we almost need a sort of a cultural change, really.
I didn't really answer your question about advice for the people making requests. I mean, at the moment, when we have the culture that we currently have, the main advice is to just be a totally stubborn and tenacious pain in the ass to those people, because that's really what wins the day. As like Rob and I will testify, with MP's expenses, it was a 5-year, you know, battle. With his, it was what. 10. So you've got to have a certain amount of tenacity to take those long cases.
But obviously, spending 10 years on a story is not something that many people have the time to do nowadays, is it? in the current online digital instant news era.
I was doing other things.
You were doing other things. Well, I mean, Jonathan, what have you found works well? You get a lot of headlines, don't you? A lot of page leads. Do you find journalists making enough use of it? What sort of things would be your advice on how to use it well?
I speak as a recovering journalist. I started off life at the BBC as a political researcher, then was at the Daily Telegraph for 5 years, and then was at conservativehome.com as co-editor for 3 years before joining the Taxpayers' Alliance. So I've been involved. I never really used FOI in those journalistic roles I played, but have deep sympathy for what journalists do and everything I can to support them, and indeed support student journalists as well. And we get requests from student journalists to cooperate with them and help them, not least because they clearly are the journalists of tomorrow, and I'm always keen to cultivate good relationships from early stage. So if any student journalists want to talk to the TBA, I'm always keen to try and help if I can. And I just want to go further to what Heather was saying about, rather like the government press officer refusing to talk to a student journalist, it's absolutely vital that FOI remains blind to who the questioner is, so that we are all seen as equals, as citizens, whether we be a journalist or a campaigner or a student or a concerned citizen who has got to be in their bonnet about something. It's absolutely vital that we're all treated as equal. I know there were some who were saying, journalists should be charged for these things and ordinary citizens shouldn't. Well, how do you make a legal distinction between whether you're asking as Rob Evans, the Guardian journalist, or Rob Evans, the concerned citizen? I mean, that's absolutely preposterous. Again, one of the conversations I had with one of the government ministers who had sounded some more sceptical notes about the law as currently exists said to me, I think what the TBA does with FOI is very sensible, but there are journalists who use it to go on fishing expeditions. And journalists trying to find interesting stories about what is being done by politicians with our money is, I think, utterly legitimate. And dare I say it, politicians complain about journalists basing their stories on hearsay and rumour and gossip. Well, if they want some actual facts and some pieces of information, suddenly the politicians want to crack down on it. I mean, that's absolutely preposterous. I haven't really answered your question either, but I think I made some sort of
You ever go answering it, Rob? I mean, you use FOI as an aid to investigative journalism, really, don't you? And I mean, How powerful a tool do you think it is, and what advice would you give to people who want to emulate what the kind of work that you do with it?
It's quite interesting. I started at The Guardian in 1999 to do freedom information work. It seems a long time ago, but what we were doing then was actually trying to strengthen the Freedom of Information Bill as it was going through Parliament. I found myself doing a lot of freedom of information requests then, but not so much nowadays. And I think that, I always think the thing with freedom of information is that, in a sense, for us it's more like a technique that any other technique you would use. You know, you would go and knock on someone's door and talk to them, or you'd go through looking through, you know, obscure government reports for facts that are useful. I think the best way of using it is really to get information that you can blend together with other information. And sometimes, you know, they can result in, you can look at pieces of paper which documents which give you a lead to something else. You know, sometimes there's nothing there which gives you a story, but it might give you a lead to, you know, someone such and such was at a meeting. Ah, let's go and talk to that person. So I think that's the way I would use it. I think that's the best way of using it, is to blend it together with other information you've got, and that would hopefully, as a package, make something powerful.
Thank you very much. So, I mean, just to summarise, great news, the Act has been saved. Use it, don't lose it. Get those FOI requests in. Be as annoying as you possibly can after you've got the FOI request in. And phone people up. Don't just email. I mean, it doesn't occur to people to phone people up nowadays, does it? You send emails, but speak to a human being and you'll get a lot more information. So thank you all for coming and showing your support for FOI. And thank you all. Can we just say thank you to our speakers?
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.